All right, we're going to start out, and we're kind of going to go back a little bit, because this is the final installment on the teaching and the preaching on the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rich has taken us through quite a few different sermons on the Holy Spirit, and what He does, and what He is, and how He functions in our lives, and in the universe, and in this world. So I want to go back to Acts chapter 2, back there at Pentecost, and we all know it real well, but I want to go back there and read it again, because I think it's important. And it's Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14 through 21. This is when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. This is when the church was born. There was no church per se before that. But on that moment, God created His church. Starting in chapter 2 of Acts. Did I say 14 through 21? I'm sorry, that is the wrong, well, it is somewhat the right place. That's Peter's address to the crowd, but I want to go back to verse 1. I'm sorry, please forgive me. So we're in chapter 2, verse 1. As I hear the pages rustling, we're not too far away from where we were. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That is an extraordinary thing. I pray that same thing to happen to this congregation. Wouldn't that be something if the doors would get opened and this wind would come in and just swirl around in here, and in the center of it there would be a flame that would separate and little tongues of fire would rest on each one of you right here on top of your head. And you would be filled with the Holy Spirit and you would start talking in different tongues, like maybe Spanish or Greek or Lithuanian or Russian. Wouldn't that be something, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? I've experienced that sometimes in my life. I've experienced, and it was something that you never saw coming. We were on a mission trip in Arizona and a young lady had fallen. And I was so worried that her back was really damaged that I got down and I held her and I put my hand like this far away from her back. I didn't want to touch her back. And I prayed, Holy Spirit, it's twilight. We're in the desert. Snakes come out, scorpions, and other nocturnal animals that can cause problems. And we're up on this mesa and we got to hike back to the camp. And she's hurt. We need you to heal her. And he did. We could pick that young lady up and she could walk, and two gentlemen helped her down the side of the mesa, down into the valley we were at. And she was okay. She was sore, but she could move. In a situation like that, there's no going to the hospital via car. They come in with a helicopter because you're way out into the desert. There's not a lot of things around. That is one of the extraordinary things that have happened in my life. I want you to think about times and places and events when it's possible you were filled with the Holy Spirit for a certain situation. And you didn't do it for your glory, you did it to help someone else. The Holy Spirit worked through you. Just think about that for a few moments. As we turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, is where the scripture that was chosen for me this day to preach upon. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He has a job to do. And He works in our smits. He brings love. Now I'm going to read this again, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Stop. Without the God-given love, everything else after that doesn't work. Actually, love is the primary ingredient. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are attributes of that love. You might have gentleness without God-given love, but it's not going to be gentle all the time. This God-given love is a supernatural love. Think about what the world calls love. And I was thinking about this as I'm writing this sermon, and I'm thinking, you know what? The word love and its meaning has been so distorted in our culture. In my everyday life, say at work, that's where I spend most of my time, so I bring stories from work and I share them with you. Most of the guys will come in and say, you know what? I really love my pickup truck. Yeah? I wonder about that. Does he really love his pickup truck? Can the truck return that love? No. Don't put any fuel in it, and we'll see how much he loves it. Right? Somebody will say, you know what? I really love my house. I really love my house. Can you actually love a house? You know, over the years, as my Christian walk, I've stopped saying that I really love a certain thing. I love my wife and my children, and I love you all, because I have a love for you that is given to me by the Holy Spirit. But I don't really love my house. I like my truck. I'm happy with my truck. You know, I'll get with guys, and they'll say, you know what, I really love my compound bow. You know what I mean? I love them sharp arrows, and I'm going to really love to stick one of them in a deer. Can you really love a bow and arrow? I don't know. I guess you could be gentle with your bow and arrow. I mean, if you take your bow and arrow and you throw it, or your truck, and you drive it into a ditch, and you don't be careful with it, you could be gentle with stuff, but can you really love things? I don't think so. Paul here is speaking to the Galatians about a gift, a work that the Holy Spirit does in you. Okay? Do you love everybody all the time? I'm going to pick somebody in here. Lynn, can I pick on you just a little bit? Do you love everybody all the time? Most of the time. I guess you could love somebody all the time. Miss Amy, you love me all the time. But don't I aggravate you sometimes? She loves me. I'm going to pick on her because I'm married to her and she knows all my faults. She knows when I do something that's aggravating. But, yeah, we can love someone with that godly love and still be perturbed with them. How often does that happen to you? There's gentlemen that I love at work. I love my coworkers, but sometimes they are so aggravating because they have that sinful nature and they misbehave. They don't cooperate. Do you think the Holy Spirit loves you? Yes. He loves you. Do you think you aggravate the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you want to know one of the ways you aggravate the Holy Spirit even though He loves you? When He tells you to do something and He talks in that very quiet voice that sounds like your voice and He says, Dave, go talk to that person about salvation. And I don't do it, that aggravates the Holy Spirit. We need to listen. And how do you listen to the Holy Spirit? With your heart ears. These ears up here are listening to crap all the time. You ever been in a store? I mean, they play music everywhere. Do you know that? Have you ever noticed that? No matter where you go, they got some kind of music going on. There's never any peace and quiet. How many here get peace and quiet? Rarely, right? You rarely get peace and quiet. I'm telling you, you need to find a quiet place at least once a day in your life where you're not in a store, where it's quiet. You don't hear anything, and practice listening to the Holy Spirit. Because He doesn't have a microphone like this. He's not going to boom, Dave, go talk to that person in Walmart. And your wife will be going, oh no, here he goes again. I don't hear that. I hear the quiet little voice. Well, let's move on, okay? The world has one way of looking at love. The Holy Spirit is completely different. Let's take the first attribute of love. It's joy. Joy is love's strength. Ever thought about that? Joy is love's strength. Are you joyful all the time? Most of the time. I'm joyful sometimes. Sometimes. I'm not going to say most of the time. There's all kinds of aggravations going on in your life. But I still have that joy in me knowing that at one point, there's a joy that we know that one day we're going to lay down, and I'm going to use myself as an example. One day I'm going to lay down this broken down fleshly body that's full of pains, aches, cricks. Oh boy, that hip didn't work right. You know, I'm going to joyfully lay this thing down, and I'm going to take up that glorified body that God's going to give me. That means no matter how hard I work here on earth, no matter what's happening in my life, what's happening to my body, okay? I have a joy inside of me knowing that I'm going to lay that down one day and God's going to give me something infinitely better. Our true joy is knowing that whatever befalls us, good or bad, and this is a joy, God knows about it and is working it for our good. Think about that. That's a joyful thought. No matter what's going on, somebody's not cooperating at work, the kids aren't listening, they've got a mess going in the basement that I think is horrendous, and I know you parents understand that, okay? Or they've spilled milk all over the kitchen table, the whole breakfast now has milk under it, it's dripping on the floor, and you've got 5 minutes to get them to the bus stop. Is that a joyful situation? Not my book, it isn't. But we know that no matter what's going on in our lives, God is going to work it to our good. That somehow He's going to take all that stuff and He's going to fashion it around into something that's good for us. There's a joy in that. The next attribute is peace. Peace is love's security. Peace. By the love of God being bestowed into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we gain a peace. And when you have that peace, okay, you're secure. Men and women who have fought wars and stuff to bring us peace, the peace of security, so that we can live in our homes securely. When you have the love of God in you, you have that peace and you feel secure. Okay? Now you have to kind of operate on that a little bit. I mean, when you have peace, you feel secure. You're at peace with the world. You're at peace with your friends. You're at peace with your family. Where do you get the most contention going on? It's with family. The kids aren't listening. The spouse isn't listening. I'm getting aggravated because I've got all this stuff to do and nobody's helping me. Okay? Your peace is kind of a little bit out of whack. You don't feel secure, right? But when you have the peace that comes from that holy love, there's a security inside of us. We Christians have a security in us knowing that, as I said before, no matter what happens, God's going to work to our good. No matter what happens in our culture, we have that peace because it's God-given. Peace is love's security. When you're at peace with God, there is a security that the things of this world cannot give. Okay? The things of this world cannot give you peace. They want to tell you they can. Here, buy this car, wear this clothes, eat this gum, buy this food, go to this place, the vacation, and you'll have everything you need. Poppycock. Because you'll always want more. I have a peace that it's all there. God is giving you all the peace you're ever going to get. You don't have to ask for more. It's there. I'm going to have to repeat this again. When you're at peace with God, there is a security that the things of this world cannot give and the persecutions of this world cannot take away. To be at peace with God is to know that all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And in the reality of that forgiveness, you can forgive others. You've been forgiven. So when you forgive someone else, that fosters peace. When you don't forgive someone else, there's always that grinding. Well, they didn't forgive me. I didn't do nothing wrong to them, and they still didn't forgive me. I don't understand what's going on. And there's that grinding amongst ourselves. But when you forgive, it helps to foster peace. Number three, which is long-suffering. Long-suffering is love's patience. Do you know what long-suffering means? Exactly what it means. You're going to suffer a long time. Long-suffering. Mothers know it with their children. Children are sometimes aggravating. A lot of times they're joyful. But sometimes you have to suffer with them a little bit. Patience is a quality that many people are lacking today. Have you ever noticed that? There's a lot of people that aren't patient. How many road rage nonsense have we heard about? Where people pull a gun, they run the other person off the road, they shoot the windows out. They have no patience. They're in 100 miles an hour all the time. I don't understand it. Nobody has the wherewithal to get up early enough to leave for work or to wherever they're going during the snowstorm so that they've arrived there on time. They have no patience. They're driving like wild maniacs. People operate like wild maniacs. They don't have any patience. I want it now. I want it right now. I deserve it right now. Why aren't you giving it to me right now? I want instant service. Have you ever noticed that the drive-thru up to, say, Burger King or McDonald's, how long it takes to get through there? It's supposed to be fast food. I want my fast food right now. I gotta have it now. You better give it to me now or I'm going to throw a fit. People don't cultivate patience. As I'm getting older, I'm not old yet. I'm only in my almost late 50s. But I'm starting to cultivate that patient outlook. Things aren't going to happen exactly when I want them. Especially dealing with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He doesn't give you what you want right now. And thank God He does. Because we need patience with everyone. In this culture of instant gratification, patience is not practiced. I know of people who have prayed for their children to get right with Jesus and be saved. I've read stories of mothers who prayed for their children and wayward sons or daughters for years and years. And only after a long time were their prayers answered. Cultivate patience, my friends. It's one of the fruits of that holy love from the Holy Spirit. Patience. I need to cultivate more of it myself. Gentleness is the next one. Gentleness is love's conduct. Gentleness is a state of conduct, a conduct that is rapidly being removed from all culture. Movies, books, video games all exhibit violence, sometimes extreme violence. What are we teaching our children? When you have the love of God that's manifested in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, cultivate gentleness. Be gentle. Don't go rushing into the situation like I used to with a bull in a china shop. I'll get in there, I'll fix it all. Crashing everything around. How dare you act like this? I'll slap you around. That's not a gentle spirit. I'm learning to cultivate a little more gentle spirit. And sometimes you lose that gentle spirit. I know one night where I told my children, you got to be quiet, I got to get up to go to work. And they were carrying on and making noise. And I'm the type of person that once I fall asleep, I should be asleep. And if I fall asleep at 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock I get woken up, I can't go back to sleep. And then the raging bull comes out. And it's like, okay, I warned you. Now I got to fix doors in the house and everybody gets paddled. That way I got everybody that was doing whatever wrong. If you were making noise, you got paddled. The only person that didn't get paddled was Amy. No paddle Amy. She's the mom. Okay? The dog ran under the sofa. She did not want to see Dad mad. Gentleness. We need to cultivate more of that. Goodness. How many good people do you know? Do you know any good people? Me? I'm not a good person. I'm a sinner. I'm a wreck. Saved by grace. Thank you, Brother Bob. Good people. What do good people do? Good people, okay, and I'm not advocating this for anyone to do, please, but good people help other people. So there's going to be situations in your life, okay, that you're going to be able to show goodness towards someone else. And believe me, there's people in my life that I don't want to be good to. So I'll give them a little goodness and see what happens. You know what I mean? And then when they stab me in the back, then you kind of step back a little bit and you go, And the Holy Spirit says, you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to love them, and you have to move a little closer and try and be good to them again. But goodness, cultivate goodness in your life. Gentleness and goodness and all these things work together to produce a Christian, a born-again, blood-washed, Spirit-filled Christian. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. He brings that godly love, places in your heart, and then all these attributes come out. Our next to last one is meekness. You don't hear that word much anymore, do you? Meekness. To be meek. Anybody here meek? Get some meekness people in here. Anybody meek? Meek? Leon, you meek? Nah. Meek. Meek. Meekness. Amy, you're meek. You're a meek person. Okay. Meekness and humility does not mean that we are weak. A meek Christian is not weak. A meek person is a person who has their passions under control. It is a strength cultivated in a person who understands who he is in Christ and follows Christ by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Rather than crashing through life, has anybody seen the movie The Croods? It's a cartoon for kids. It's an animation. You've seen The Croods? You remember when the father comes crashing out of the cave? And he's flying all over the place. You remember that? I like that movie. It kind of reminds me of myself. They're cavemen. They have a cave family. I have that sloping brow. 22, boom, bounce right off my forehead. Okay? He's not meek. He's crashing out there to see what wild animal is going to eat his family. And he scares all the little animals away, right? Meekness. Meekness is walking through life quietly. Some people need to be the center of attention. I'm kind of like one of those people sometimes. I used to be. Me, I like to just kind of walk through life, nice and quiet now. Walk through life, watching people, looking for opportunities where the Holy Spirit's going to say, Dave, go talk to that person. Yeah, her, you need to talk to her. Meekness, just walking through, nice and easy, not in a hurry, waiting for the Spirit to talk to you. Oh, meekness. Okay, now a lot of young people are not going to know this word. Some of us older people will. Temperance. Ooh, do you remember the word temperance? Temperance. Remember the temperance movement? The temperance movement was to abolish alcohol consumption, right? It's habitual moderation in regard to the indulgences of the natural appetites. Restrained or moderate indulgence. Indulge. Some people like to indulge in alcohol, and they indulge so much that they drive their truck that they love down into a ditch. Did they really love their truck? They drove the truck into a ditch. Temperance. To be temperate. The Holy Spirit gives us that love, and He wants to control your life, and He gives you temperance. So in temperance, we don't eat too much. We don't carry on too much. We don't get into trouble too much. Temperance. For teenagers, to be temperate. Temperance. Being careful. Watching. Don't overindulge. So what do we do with this love? What do we do with this love? I want you to think about this here. Think of this. It is possible for the old nature to counterfeit some of the fruits of the Spirit, but the flesh can never produce the fruit of the Spirit. One difference is this. One difference is this. When the Spirit produces fruit, God gets the glory. When the Spirit produces the fruit, God gets the glory. The Christian is not conscious of this spirituality. But when the flesh is at work, the person is inwardly proud of himself and is pleased when others compliment him. The work of the Spirit is to make us more like Christ for His glory, not for the praise of men. So when you're operating in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is controlling you, you're doing everything for the glory of God. And you don't think of anything of yourself. You're thinking, how can I glorify my Father today? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the love of God working in you. The Spirit enables us to produce fruit. The cultivation of fruit is important. Paul warns that there must be a right atmosphere for the cultivation of the fruit. Just as fruit cannot grow in every climate, so the fruit of the Spirit cannot grow in every individual's life or in every church. Fruit grows in a climate blessed with an abundance of the Spirit and the Word. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25 said. We've read that. Means keeping in step with the Spirit. What does the Spirit want? It's not running ahead, not lagging behind, and this involves certain things that we must cultivate as Christians. This involves the Word, reading the Word, prayer, worship, praise, and fellowship with God's people. We need to have fellowship with each other. because fruit was not meant for us to go and say, oh, I have fruit of the Spirit. Oh, isn't that nice fruit? Boy, that's a really nice piece of fruit. It's shiny. It's really cool. As with regular fruit, if I set a piece of fruit on here, say an apple, and I walk away and come back the next day, oh my, that's a nice piece of fruit. Well, I can just let it there for a while. You walk away. You come back the next day and a piece of fruit is starting to lose its luster. Still smells okay. Go back another day and come back. Well, I didn't see that yesterday. That piece of fruit has a brown spot on it. You can't cultivate fruit in your life and then put it on a pedestal. Fruit is meant to be eaten, and not by you. You're not supposed to eat your own fruit. Did you know that? The fruit of the Spirit? You're supposed to give it away. I'm supposed to give it to family. I'm supposed to give it to friends. To the one I love. I really love my wife. Give her my fruit. She gives me her fruit. To my friends. To my cousins. To the people around me. Do you realize that the world, is dying for the fruit that we have? There's people out there that need love with His patience and His kindness and His meekness and His long-suffering. They need it. It also means pulling out the weeds. Do you have weeds in your life? So that the seeds of the Word can take root and bear fruit. The Judaizers, who were into the original church that wanted to change things, you've got to follow the Ten Commandments, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to do this. Paul spoke against them. The Judaizers were anxious for praise and vainglory, and this led to competition and division. Fruit can never grow in that kind of an atmosphere. We must remember that fruit is produced to be eaten and not to be admired or put on display. People around us are starving for love, joy, peace, and all the other graces of the Spirit. And when they find them in our lives, they know that we have something they lack. We do not bear fruit for our own consumption. We bear fruit that others might be fed and helped, and that Christ might be glorified. That is what the fruit of the Spirit is for. He produces it in you, and you give it away. The flesh may manufacture results that bring praise to us, but the flesh cannot bear fruit that brings glory to God. It takes patience and an atmosphere of the Spirit, walking in the light, the seed of the Word of God, and a sincere desire to honor Christ. And that's where we're at as we finish up our teaching on the Holy Spirit. He brings fruit. His work is to bring the love of God into your life so that the fruit sprouts and then you give that fruit away. And believe me, in this congregation, I see trees of fruit growing in all of you. So give your fruit to the person aside of you and they'll give you theirs. That's what a congregation does in the power of the Holy Spirit. We take care of each other. We love each other. That's why we need to be together at least once a week, if not more. Do you know what some of my favorite things to do with you people? The picnic's coming up. We're going to have a picnic together, but I love the potluck dinners when we get together and we get to sit together and we talk and we eat and I get to try the different things that you make and you get to try the things that I make. That is building a congregation. That is getting to know one another, getting to know what fruit that you have. You may have a piece of fruit that I need to eat. I know that there is people in this congregation who have given my wife a word of encouragement. Do you know what you've given my wife? A piece of your fruit. And it helps. We need to encourage each other with godly love. Would you rise with me so we may pray? I want to pray with you, pray us out of here at the end of this sermon. Oh, Holy Spirit, we know that you are here. I thank you for being here, for you have strengthened me to give this sermon. I am but a vessel. Holy Spirit, I ask that you pour out your power of love upon every individual here in this congregation, that they might produce fruit so abundant that it not only feeds the people in this congregation, but it travels out into Lebanon County, and that the people in Lebanon County go, whoa, the Heart of Christ Church has fruit. Fruit. They love with all those attributes. They're patient and kind and long-suffering. They have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Father in heaven, for giving us your Holy Spirit and for giving the Son that he took away our sins. Father, strengthen everyone in this congregation that they might bear fruit for your glory. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of you, Holy Spirit, who dwells with us now. Amen.